This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Joe Hanley on the line from Asian Access. We're going to be taking a look at Hong Kong and kind of that ongoing situation. The latest news that I found was, China's kind of doing its best to keep a lid on things there, but the demonstrators are planning to bring their movement to some areas frequented by Chinese travelers. The movement is, it seems like it's gaining momentum. It's kind of become about more than just the extradition law. And now it's about Hong Kong's autonomy. So this is kind of the wider situation. But Joe, where does it leave the church?
So great question, Katie. And again, always good to be with you. The church has people that are on kind of all sides of the issue. As you may have seen in an article I sent written by a businessman who's a keen watcher of the situation, he sees this as an enormous opportunity for the church to be a peace maker in the midst of society. Not to be one that takes necessarily a position on either side, but one to be a broker to bring about a more peaceful resolution in the city. Somebody who can kind of stand between those who are frustrated on the ground and the government and be able to broker a conversation, something that can avoid violence, something that can address the issues, and something that can help the country as a whole come to a better resolution. What their point was that first that the situation's quite ambiguous. There's no clearly defined reality between the current mainland China and the kind of semi-autonomous Hong Kong. And as they try to, work out what does this really look like, this person's suggestion was that the church is well poised, kind of stand in the middle, be a voice of reason, and help both sides come to the table. In essence, being a bridge like Christ could be in the midst of the storm. Of course, the author goes on to point out that the ultimate goal of the church is a reconciliation with God. So its purpose is not a political end. It's not trying to advocate for some type of political movement or anything like that. Rather, it's a spiritual end. And the more we can move towards levels of reconciliation, the more we're embodying who Christ is. And of course, pointing to the ultimate reality of his hope that he offers for the kingdom, as we look towards being saved from our sin and then having the hope of eternity. So the church has an enormous opportunity, and I've actually met with pastors in Hong Kong that are taking this same point of view. They realize that in their church are people on all sides. They have government officials, police officers, and protesters all in the same congregation, and they're trying to advocate for this very same idea that our friend, who's one of our teachers with Asian Access, has advocated for, that this is just an enormous opportunity for the church to rise to the occasion. And why do I talk about it today? Predominantly because this is a big part of who we are at Asian Access. We're about trying to unite the church, to bring people together, and then build leaders who are Christ-like in their endeavors, who are peacemakers in society, who are agents of peace in this world and are reconcilers between man and God. And so as we try to develop Christ-like leaders, We want those leaders to be about uniting the church, bringing different people together under the banner of Christ so that they can seek missional ends and make a kingdom impact. And we've seen that happen in many different countries. Of course, most often with people coming to Jesus and churches being planted. But periodically, we also see that happen in situations where there's a broader societal issue going on. For instance, in some countries, our alumni have tackled issues like human trafficking or dealing with orphan care. One of the countries, in fact, they were so effective at this that a local government invited them in to help reshape the constitution of their country. And it took about 8 to 10 years, but they actually developed the first religious liberty clause in their state constitution. So when the church rises to the occasion, similar to the way this faculty member of ours has advocated for Hong Kong, we can make an enormous difference in society. And it reminds me of last week I was traveling in Myanmar, and I ran into a set of leaders, with one of which who had a very powerful story. Years ago, you know, you may know that the country of Myanmar is, they're in the middle of a 70-year civil war. It's the longest standing modern civil war, and it's really challenging. And over a decade ago, they were in one of these tense moments, you know, sort of similar to where they're at today with the Rakhine State and the Rohingya people. But this was before all that. And they were in one of these tense moments, and a key Christian leader was invited to one of these meetings, where they were talking about the issue. And as they were, you know, dialoguing about the issues, they really wanted to pursue the ideas they'd heard about from South Africa and other countries about peace and reconciliation. And so there was all this dynamic dialogue about how do we achieve peace and reconciliation. And finally, Aung San, who most people would know of, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, she asked for this particular Christian leader to speak. And he, you know, he tried to refuse. He said, "Hey, I'm just here to pray and be an observer." But she really challenged him. She said, you're a preacher. Preachers have good things to say, so please come and speak to us." And as he was sharing, it made a very powerful impact on the group together. He said, you know, in reality, as you look at the Bible, in order to have peace, it has to be preceded with reconciliation. And so you have to have a reconciling effect prior to actually achieving peace. And so he said, the way I look at Scripture is it actually has to be framed in terms of reconciliation and peace rather than peace and reconciliation. And that that powerful statement in that moment led those leaders to reframe the approach that they were doing. Not that, you know, that they haven't solved all the problems of Myanmar, of course, and they're under their more challenges even today. But it illustrates a powerful principle that our friend here is talking about in this article about Hong Kong, is that if we really want to see peace, we have to first step in that gap and be agents of reconciliation. First off, agents of reconciliation between us and God, and then second off, agents of reconciliation between ourselves and others. And in this case, we have a powerful opportunity similar to the way that leader had in Myanmar years ago. He stood in the gap, and when he was, you know, invited to the table and asked to speak, he was able to speak powerfully from Scripture into the situation of the day. And we have this enormous opportunity for the Church of Hong Kong to rise to the occasion and be agents of reconciliation and peace.
And you've answered all my other questions, but one just came to mind. Are believers able to do that in Hong Kong?
Actually, they are. In fact, the current CEO has invited key people to the table, and some of them are going to be Christian leaders. There's a number of Christian leaders serving within business, government, and in society. And one of Asian Access's goals is to empower leaders in all spheres of society. You know, in years past, we worked almost exclusively with pastors, but the last few years, we've been working with business leaders and increasingly looking at other sectors of society to engage in, to empower leaders for these kinds of things. And as Carrie Lam, the CEO, is calling people to the table, many of them are believers, and so they represent the church. So there is an enormous opportunity for believers to stand in the gap at the highest levels of power in Hong Kong. And in addition to that, you know, because they're in the streets or in their business places or even in the church, and they're, you know, different sides of the situation or just happen to be on the police force, they can dialogue with one another about the situation. In fact, last time I was in Hong Kong, I was with a businessman whose daughter dialogued with her father about the protest. She had been invited by her friends to participate in the protest, and she wanted to see what her dad thought of that and whether or not she should participate. And they had a dialogue. And so everything from the local family to the local church, to the local business, all the way up to the highest powers of government in Hong Kong, there is that opportunity to engage the issue. And so it's viable. And I think that particularly if church leaders were to rise up and you know, go speak with the government in an appropriate way, not try to be antagonistic, not try to, one of the challenges in Chinese society would be trying to shame the government, not being, you know, agents that are going to be working in a shame-based kind of approach, but ones that come in and say, we'd like to sit at the table and have a conversation to help be reconcilers in what's going on and agents of peace. I think it's possible.
That's great. And I want to respect your time. So I'll just ask one more question, and that's one of action. How can our listeners and readers come alongside? And I'm thinking prayer is the main call to action here. What are maybe two or three ways people can pray for this situation?
Well, let me just list off some calls to action that my friend from the business leader had suggested, and then I'll talk about ways to pray and get involved. What this one author suggested is that the church could be literally the broker of resolution between the government and the young people. They can help society and government understand each other better. And then the church can stand in the gap. They've been excellent over many years at solving problems in society, housing problems, economic opportunity, trying to reduce social tension, those types of things. And so it's a powerful opportunity for the Church of Hong Kong itself. In terms of what the global church can be doing, of course, as you mentioned, we can pray. And of all things, that's probably the best thing we can do is be praying for the situation in Hong Kong, pray for our fellow believers that they would have discernment and wisdom and know how to be agents of reconciliation in society. For Asian Access Mindset, everything hinges on our love relationship with God. And so pray that these leaders would be deeply rooted in Christ, that they could be the best forms of Christ-like leaders in the midst of what's going on. And then finally, Asian Access is working in these sectors. We are launching a business leaders session in Hong Kong over the course of this next year, as well as many other countries. And we could use your prayers and support as we build those types of cohorts to develop kingdom leaders who would be poised and equipped more effectively to engage these kinds of issues. And then for those that want to support us in that work, of course, we're always looking for financial support to do those types of trainings. So those are a few ways that people can help out and pray for what's going on.
Definitely. And we'll connect people with Asian Access at our website. My questions are finally done. So is there anything else you wanted to add or anything I may have missed?
No, thanks, Katie. I really appreciate the time, and I'm grateful that people would pray for the situation.